It's the ERP Confab. I'm David Essex, editor-at-large at Search ERP with my colleagues Brian McKenna, business applications editor at Computer Weekly, and our guest, Jim O'Donnell, news editor at Search ERP. Our topic today is Netherlands-based Unit 4. The ERP vendor recently held its annual conference, Experience for You, and introduced its next-generation ERP platform called ERPX, which integrates ERP, human capital management, and financial planning and analysis functions on a unified cloud-based platform. ERPX rings all the right bells in trendy ERP user experience and automation features, such as chatbots, machine learning, and pre-configured workflows. But can a small vendor like Unit 4 compete in technical innovation against much larger players, including SAP and Oracle? We'll take a stab at answering that question. So we all attended the Experience for You conference. It was actually around the middle of last month in October, and attended the Q&A event with Mike Ettling, the CEO, and some of the other senior executives and some users, some customers. The big news coming out of the conference was that Unit 4 introduced essentially a new platform, the next generation platform called ERPX. And Jim, you wrote a news piece about that. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what the highlights were?
Yeah, sure, Dave. Thanks for having me on the Confab again. So Unit 4, you know, they're based in Netherlands, and they have a good market presence in Europe, and they've been trying to expand their market base in North America. You know, so I think they kind of used this recent conference to kind of reinvigorate that message and as you said, introduce this new platform, ERPX, which is, you know, they've been around for a while, but they've had more of an on-premises presence, and they're trying to, as all the ERP vendors now, they're trying to, you know, move their systems to the cloud and have a, you know, more cloud SaaS-based offering for their customers. I believe it's in Microsoft Azure. What they've really been focusing on is sort of a small to mid market, and they kind of rejiggered their focus. They traditionally, I think, they've gone for larger organizations, but this kind of new focus they have on small to mid market seems to be a little bit newer direction for them. But they really, I think, they're, you know, the point that they're trying to go for is having very targeted ERP applications for very targeted industry segments. Just for example, they're specifically targeting four industry segments: professional services, higher education, public sector, and sort of nonprofit NGOs. Really, what that means is they call it people-centric ERP, which, you know, as Mike Ettling, the CEO, said, is different from traditional ERP, which is kind of built out of a manufacturing sort of, you know, very process-oriented companies, and they're trying to really differentiate themselves from those more traditional sort of ERP vendors.
Yeah, and of course, Ettling came from SAP SuccessFactors, which, you know, is a SaaS-based human capital management platform vendor that also has a strong people experience or employee experience management offering going on. And so it really seems to be kind of Mike Ettling's thing to emphasize the way the ERP comes together and the experience that it creates in terms of providing help to the user, being relatively easy to use.
Well, I think that's part of the message, as going for that, the market that they appear to be sort of specializing in now, sort of these not really large, not huge organizations, but sort of up to the mid markets, you know, smaller end of the enterprise scale, that they don't really have the resources they don't have the IT resources. They don't necessarily, you know, it might be NGOs or nonprofits that don't have that kind of, you know, that IT resources that they can, you know, implement and run a more traditional ERP. So they really do need those SaaS systems. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're trying to, you know, kind of combine that focus with this, as I said, kind of a deep industry knowledge of what they need. So the systems don't necessarily need to have to be, you know, heavily customized once you implement them for what they're doing. They're saying they can take care of that. And you know, if you have, you know, if you're a nonprofit or if you're a consulting organization, they'll have specific, you know, functionality for those industries already built into them. So it's an interesting approach.
They do seem to have a vision that is fairly similar to a lot of the major vendors like SAP and Oracle and sort of mid-sized ones like Infor, and have to throw Microsoft in there as an ERP vendor. in also trying to move to multi-tenant software as a service. And they emphasize that they are making the ERPX platform, which they say will come out roughly next spring of 2021.
I think they said March.
This microservices architecture that is like component-based, I guess, cloud-based pieces that you can piece together. I think they often are organized around business processes. But it's a story we've heard before, and it seems like it's a huge integration challenge, a compelling vision, but one that we've been hearing actually from Gartner when they talked about the devolution of ERP from the big monolithic systems. Gartner's been talking about this for something like 10 years or more, where they say ERP is going to get broken up and there'll be probably multi-vendor systems also. But it always seems like a complicated thing to kind of pull off. But it seems as if Unit 4 is saying that they think with this low-code, no-code approach that their customers can actually kind of code, maybe with some consulting help, code some of their own specialized needs. Brian, I enjoyed the piece that was posted on your normal column, your normal blog. You had a guest columnist in Klaus Jepsen, the CTO, who did a nice piece about the sort of the vision, the ERP vision.
Yeah, no, I got Klaus to write a, I guess, blog post for me on the back of a fairly in-depth interview I did with him. I mean, you're both right, guys, in terms of the sort of philosophy that Unit 4 is propounding. It's this pervasive ERP. It's, you know, it's very task-oriented. It's very modular. It's just what you need. It's the idea of users living in Teams, living in Slack, and then kind of executing tasks that are kind of fed out to them by the ERP. And it's kind of amounting to a sort of deconstruction of traditional monolithic, slabby ERP. And they're very analyst-aligned. They cite IDC, they cite Gartner as backing up the philosophy that they've got. I think it probably is a bit of an advance from where they were a few years back. But I mean, I interviewed Jose Duarte, who was their CEO back in March 2015. And a lot of the things that Jose had to say were just very similar to what Mike's saying now. And in the meantime, they had another CEO called Stefan Sieber. By the way, all three of them come from SAP. Jose, Stefan, and Mike Ettling, all from a SAP pedigree. Klaus's immediate background about 6 years ago was Infor, so that's his kind of background is slightly different to those three. But what Jose and what Stefan and what Mike are saying have all been pretty consistent, very much in bed with Microsoft Azure for their clouds, for the cloud delivery of their stuff. At the core of it, way back in the day, is a couple of things: one called Agresso, one called Coda. Agresso was Norwegian. Coda was UK. So they don't have a plethora of ERPs to stitch together like Infor. So that's a difference to Infor that actually Klaus mentioned to me. And he also said in comparison with Infor that Unit 4 has an innovation department. So they do, you know, they have been investing an awful lot in technological development. In terms of their customers, again, it's very similar to what they were saying with Jose and then with Stefan. It's the same kind of groups. It's higher education, professional services.
Local government, I think. Some in the UK too. Mm-hmm.
So not manufacturing, not supply chain, very much mid-market. Ettling wants them to be ultra cloud, almost like a Workday, a vendor that was born in the cloud. He wants that sort of culture, even although they must have on-premise customers.
I think they still do. Did a little reading on that. They are still moving some of their platform to the cloud. Interesting that you should mention the 2015 piece you did, Brian, because a few minutes before we started recording, I was chatting with Jim about Jim's piece interviewing Stefan Sieber, who you mentioned earlier, the later CEO, the one before Ettling. In that piece, similar things were being said, a similar vision about ERP and, you know, the people experience. And I think they were talking about the cloud move then and the usability that comes from being software as a service. But then I also read something that Den Howlett of Diginomica wrote early this year around February, quoting Ettling in some kind of statement, perhaps an interview, where Mike Ettling, the CEO, talked about the move to multi-tenant SaaS is still a work in progress. This was just a few months ago this is being said, admittedly about 6 months before the conference where they announced the new product. We always have to kind of keep an eye on this migration among the vendors, I think, between from on-premises to the regular single tenant hosted kind. And I did see Mike Etling kind of knocking SAP and Oracle and the competitors for having not true SaaS, not multi-tenant.
He said that to me before as well. He said that to me in 2019 when I interviewed him in Paris. Yeah, he said none of the others have that. We have multi-tenant. Well, they don't, SAP Oracle, they don't have that yet. I don't know what to kind of, why, you know, that why that's important or why. But I knew, what do you guys think about, do they have a decent shot at doing what they're trying to do?
Yeah, I think for the market they're going for, yeah, sure. I think for those type of organizations that aren't in manufacturing, that aren't in, you said, traditional supply chain, for those, they call it the people-centric companies, yeah. You know, like consultants and higher ed, they got something to offer. In the conference that we all attended, they did have kind of tout some of their customer stories, but I thought one was interesting that over in your neck of the woods, Brian, that's the Surrey County Council of Surrey, UK, said that they had chosen Unit 4 for their upgrade. They had an old traditional SAP system, and rather than move to S/4HANA, which is SAP's sort of modern ERP, they said that they've, that they're moving to Unit 4. So, I mean, you can pick out here or there for any company that will have, a good customer story like that. But it is interesting that, that they did. And I think that's really the type of customer that they do really can appeal to, are these sort of smaller public entities or, those kind of organizations, universities, higher education. I think they've got a good chance at getting into, a lot of companies like that.
They've had a big, in terms of UK higher education, they've had at least in excess of 100 customers in that sector for a good long while now. At the press conference that we all attended, Etling described higher education as a traumatized sector, because of the pandemic. That's affected their commercial performance or not. I mean, they're private, aren't they?
They are. They're owned by, I think the equity firm is Advent. I don't know the full name, but a news piece. I think that acquisition happened 7 years ago. They had been public and were taken private. One other thought about whether they have a shot at competing, and I mentioned this in the lead-in, it does seem like they really do have a lot of the bells and whistles, or they're talking about them. The same things we hear about for SAP and from SAP and Oracle, such as the machine learning, the voice capable chatbot. I think theirs is called Wanda. These automated workflows that will do invoicing for you with an AI behind this. I mentioned machine learning. They're using the term touchless experiences, which is the phrase we heard from Oracle a month or two ago. Technologically, they really seem to be holding up pretty well here and really staying pretty current.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say some of the people, some of the analysts I talked to, I know Ray Wang of Constellation Research, was very high on their technology. He said that they really, it's a very modern, as you said, component-based sort of architecture that, he said it really hits it out of the park. So from that point of view, I think they probably are in the right frame of mind to have a good solution for people, for companies.
The only thing I wonder about Unit 4, just thinking about this before coming on the podcast, guys, was they're great proponents of this idea of pervasive ERP, a kind of deconstructed, distributed ERP, that the user doesn't even have to think about it being an ERP. The user's just doing a task and it's being served out to them through this, what they call this federated assemblies of microservices. That's the technology that's going on here in order to enable this to happen. And they've kind of, they've disaggregated a lot of the services that they're delivering to users, whether accountants or people working in higher ed or whatever. They've done it in such a way that it doesn't impact the core ERP. So you don't have this kind of monumental headache of upgrading, et cetera, et cetera. So it seems to be a very distinctive architecture. Mm-hmm. And someone like Ray Wang would probably, in fact, he has said things like that, hasn't he? I'm sure he has. But this is an ERP company. Are they not eroding the kind of central value of ERP by putting it in those terms, given that they are an ERP company, that they're saying, ERP is a thing that should be dissolved and distributed and we shouldn't have to think about it anymore. But nevertheless, that is what they are.
And they do talk about a unified platform. That's still something that they're bragging about, like pretty much every ERP vendor does. They said that in the release for ERPX.
It's like a football team, what you would call a soccer team, what we call a football team. And you say, well, we're no longer a football team, really. We're a provider of goals, thrilling moments, great goalkeeping saves, hard tackles, you know, all the kind of stuff that fans enjoy about football. But it's all disaggregated and distributed, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still, you know, they're losing that kind of, they are a football team essence. By putting all this emphasis on the dispersal of ERP, pervasive ERP, they're maybe losing what they essentially are.
It also can feel a little too much like marketing BS. Don't you think it really would feel that way probably with a soccer team. I don't know if football teams have really done that. But with ERP, sometimes you feel like it's just their way of saying, oh, we're easier to use, or we're not as horrible. This Workday has done this for years. We're not like that horrible SAP. You're thinking ERP is that horrible on-premises system with those ugly screens.
No, so we're not that. We're not that. Instead, to get to our functionality, you can get to it through Slack and Teams. Okay, we can get to it through Slack and Teams, but where do you fit in? You know, from a...
Yeah, and that's kind of almost going back to, you know, 30 years ago when everything, there was all these separate applications and you could sort of do everything, you know, in the separate applications. But that was the point of ERP, was bringing it all together into one system, right? I mean,
good point. I do have an observation about that in connection with what you just said, Brian. If they're sort of deep shooting themselves by maybe talking down the idea of ERP. Separately, I was thinking they remind me of Workday in their story, in that they emphasized, they added human capital management a while ago. They really played up the financial planning and analysis component, and then, of course, the regular financials. And also, Workday has a lot of business in higher education. And so this notion that you have the non-supply chain or manufacturing heavy ERP, the core ERP that can appeal to people, services, public sector, they're doing that, and they remind me of a smaller Workday. I mean, Workday is itself a lot smaller than SAP and Oracle, but still a lot bigger than Unit 4. And their story, especially as they move to multi-tenant SaaS, reminds me of that kind of pitch almost, where you can, and then you do the analysis, you have the analytics for the HR and for the financials, and you kind of, supposedly you can do more that way.
I think you're on the right track. I think maybe they're not really, you know, their competitors aren't really the SAPs and Oracles of these sort of huge traditional ERP systems, but it might be the Workdays and, you know, those ones that are coming up in are pure SaaS. But that's an interesting concept for sure.
Yeah, in his conversation with me, Klaus Jepsen, he did mention Workday as you know, as a competitor in the same kind of space as they are. I just wonder, this whole kind of philosophy of superseding ERP, transcending it, getting beyond it, they are an ERP vendor and they don't have the brand recognition of an SAP or an Oracle, or maybe not even an IFS or an Infor.
Yeah, and the other thing going on, speaking of brand recognition, this has again been commented on for years. And if you, perhaps going back to your article, your 2015 one, and certainly in Jim's 2017 article interviewing the Unit 4 folks, talking about their push into North America, which again is something that came up during the conference. Some of the analysts mentioned it. It's been an ongoing, it seems like a struggle. I know they have some business over on this side of the pond, but they keep talking about trying to grow the business in North America. It's too big of a market to ignore if you're trying to be a worldwide player, strong as they are in Europe. And so the other interesting thing about that was just a few years ago, they were essentially an investor in Financial Force, which was going to be fairly high profile as this platform that runs on the force.com Salesforce platform. And I think there's also Salesforce investment money in there. We hadn't heard much about that for a year or two now. And I asked the Unit 4 press person about that. And she says, essentially, the Advent folks still have money in Financial Force and in Unit 4.
I'd be interested to hear from you too, you see some market penetration from Unit 4. The other aspect of that, while you're thinking about that, is partners. Because I would have thought if they want to increase business in the United States, then is the key to that the strength of their partner program?
I kind of see it a little similar to what IFS is trying to do, because they started out very strong in Europe as well, right? They were Swedish based, and they've tried to build up their partner network and their presence in North America, and they've been fairly successful. They're kind of going after a different market space, because they're more in manufacturing, but they're a similar type of company, and they're very specializing in a few really specialized manufacturing applications, whereas, Unit4 is going for the non-manufacturing market, but they were looking for a model to follow that might be one that they could kind of latch onto, because I think IFS has sort of increased their presence in the North American market, where they really weren't all that strong a few years ago, too.
Yeah, they're definitely not a competitor, but you're right, Jim, they are, from a business strategy point of view, they're a very similar type of company. And Darren Roos, who we all know quite well, he's very much put the emphasis on delivering IFS technology through partners, through...
Right.
Well, who are they working with? Is it Deloitte, maybe? Accenture?
I think they've got partners with all those larger systems integrators. And I think that's probably a way that, that Unit4 would have to get, some sort of partnerships going with some of the big SIs.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's true. And I think it's interesting that Klaus said to me the previous leaderships of Unit4 have tended to see partners as almost a necessary evil. So maybe that's a shift in strategy, is that they have become a lot more intense or serious about having a partners program.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I've read an article too that Aaron Tan, who covers our APAC market, is kind of saying, and I think the APAC market is one that we tend to be more North American sort of focused, so we don't necessarily see how strong companies are in that area, but that could be another potentially huge area for them to head into too. And as I said, it's not a market we always maybe pay as much attention to as we should.
I found the comment that was sent to me in answer to the question about Financial Force. It's no longer part of the Unit4 group of companies, but remains an investment within the Advent portfolio. So the same private equity firm has money in both of them, but they were more connected a couple of years ago, up until a few years ago. And It was part of the kind of interesting story, I thought, in North America, that you had this also Salesforce-backed, very service customer-oriented platform in Financial Force, which is really strong on the, not surprisingly, on the financials aspect of ERP and SaaS from the get-go, working with Unit4, and I think having some of their technology. It was actually kind of an interesting story that we were hearing a few years ago that we don't hear so much anymore, at least in terms of product collaboration and sort of trying to co-market in the US and Canada.
I think that maybe we should see them. What do you think, guys, as a very much a niche enterprise software vendor, and all the talk about revolutionizing ERP and how Ettling at the conference that we all attended, the press conference aspect of that, talked about ERP vendors who don't get on board with this whole idea of modularity and this particular style of architecture that they've evolved for ERP are going to endure a slow and painful death. I mean, all that kind of rhetoric is maybe just entertaining for us, but at the end of the day, this is a niche vendor that's strong in professional services, higher education, and it's mostly going to be doing cloud stuff over Azure, very much hand in glove with Microsoft.
I think that the niche description fits them really well. And even in the markets that they are sort of targeting, like higher education, SAP has a huge organization that's just going after higher education. So they've got their work cut out for them just to kind of hit into the markets that they're strong in.
I don't know if size indicates niche, although sometimes it does. I've seen some different numbers. I think Unit4 did release some 500 million euros. This is Ray Wong from Constellation in a recent report said they have about 3,200 employees, 500 million euro annual revenue. I saw another number that was closer to 400 million. This is some actually reported in Diginomica, but I think it came from a Unit 4 statement, more like just a bit below 400 million euros or $412 million in 2019, and about 3,200 employees, I guess, according to Ray Wong. Compare that with Oracle, the biggest, 39 billion. Now they're into other things in the ERP, of course, 39 billion in their last fiscal year, 135,000 employees. SAP's last full year report, just under 27 billion for Oracle, 27 billion euros for SAP, and 101,000 employees, and supposedly hundreds of thousands of customers.
Yeah, I think we realize they're smaller than SAP and smaller than Oracle. So they're probably a similar kind of size to, again, IFS.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I interviewed Jose Duarte back in 2015, he said to me one of his ambitions for Unit 4 was to make it a billion euro revenue company. That was 5 years ago, and it sounds like they haven't hit that yet.
Right, not quite half. I do think of them like the little engine that could. You know, they're a smaller company that is making a serious effort and, you know, is upgrading their platform in a serious way. We'll have to see what it looks like. I don't recall much of a demo, but I didn't watch all of the events during the Experience for You conference. But this ERPX platform is at least supposed to be available in a few months. And so we'll have to see how it compares. Well, this might be a good place to end. Thank you to you both. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Brian.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.